Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Taha Bhagavan Gopan Himba Tata Pradakasa Yatopa Sosambisata Kiyaligartam Sogodanaha Taha Bhagavan Gopan Himba Tata Vadaukasa Etopa Go Samarishita Kirigartam Sagodana Taha Bhagavan Gopam Himba Tata Vadaukasa Ito pago sambhisata Kirigartam sagodanaha. Please chant. Ladies. Ata, then, aha, addressed Bhagavan, the Supreme Lord, Gopan, the cowherds, hey, oh, Amba, mother, Tata, O father, Raja O Kasha, the residents, O residents of Raja, Yata Upa Chosham, as suits your pleasure, Vishita, please enter, Giri, this hill, Gartam, the empty space below, Sogodanaha, together with your cows. Translation. The Lord then addressed the cowherd community. O mother, O father, O residents of Raja, if you wish, you may now come under this hill with your cows. Purport. For the followers of A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. Srila Vishvanatha Chakravarti Thakur provides the following insight in this regard. Ordinarily, a large cowherd community, which included many thousands of cows, calves, bulls, and so on could not fit under the base of a medium-sized hill like Sri Govardhan. However, because the hill was in ecstasy, being touched by the hand of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it acquired inconceivable power and even felt the hundreds of deadly thunderbolts thrown upon its back by angry Indra to be offerings of soft, fragrant flowers. At times, Sri Govardhan was not even aware that thunderbolts were striking. From the Harivamsa, the Acharya has also quoted Sri Krishna himself as saying, Trilokyam akusahate rakshitam kim punarvajam. Sri Govardhan can give shelter to all the three worlds, but to speak of the simple land of Braja. When King Indra's attack began and Krishna lifted the hill, the deers, the wild hogs, and other animals and birds sitting on the hill's flanks climbed up to its peaks, and even they did not experience the slightest distress. Chakshun Militam Yena, Tasmaya Sri Gurudeva, Namo Vishnu Padaya, Krishna Pasai Budhulay, Shimati Bhakti Vedanta, Swami Tinani, Namaste, Saraswati Devi, Gauravani Pratari, Nani Vasation, Padata, Vishnu, Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Bhuni Tan, Sri Veda Gadadhar, Sri Vasari Gaur Bhakti Vinda, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Panchakalpa Purvyascha, Kapa Sindhu Devacha, Titanam Pavanebio, Vaishnavebio, Namo Namaha. So I was reading about this pastime, I was thinking about relationships with Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Of the different acharyas that in our line, somehow or other, I sort of feel a lot of connection with Bhaktivinoda Thakur, because, for one thing, as was mentioned in the quote by Srila Prabhupada, given by Keshava Prabhu, that he's the one who envisioned Krishna consciousness spreading all over the world. And he envisioned it in a time when Krishna consciousness wasn't even spreading all over India. And, but to speak of spreading all over India, it wasn't particularly doing too well in India. There were many apasampradayas, 13 different perversions of Lord Chaitanya's philosophy, and it was hard to actually find people who were following the pure teachings of Lord Chaitanya. And in that situation, Bhaktivinoda Thakur was envisioning Krishna consciousness being spread all over the world. And not only that, he thought it would happen very, very soon. Where by material calculation, no one would ever consider that, because it wasn't even spreading very well within India, what to speak of beyond India. But he had transcendental faith in the will of the Lord, and because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had predicted, as is described in Chaitanya Bhagavat 500 years ago, my name will be chanted in every town and village. So that prediction was there. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur considered, well, if Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wants his name spread to every town and village, what's the problem? He's the unlimited personality of Godhead. Well, let's see what I can do to help the prediction come to pass. So I feel connected with him, because actually this whole Krishna consciousness movement exists because of his desire that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings be spread all over the world. Another thing is that in our daily spiritual practice, we are every day we're singing his songs. And the song that we just sang was Jai Radha Madhava, which he wrote in glorification of his deities who were named Radha Madhava. And in this brief song of just four lines, he includes the phrase Girivaradhari, the lifter of the best of hills. which actually deals with this present past time that we're discussing in the Bhagavatam. Actually, that Govardhan Hill is a very important feature in the Krishna Lila. Described that when Radharani learned from Krishna that he was going to the material world, she said she wasn't interested in coming if Govardhan wasn't there, or if the river Yamuna wasn't there. So Krishna agreed to bring Govardhan and the river Yamuna for her, so she would feel happy about coming there. And so many leelas occur. There's a rasa dance that occurs in Govardhan Hill, and Govardhan provides grass for the cows and caves for the boys to play in. And it's a key piece of geography in the Krishna Lila. And therefore it was included in that very tiny song of just four lines by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. That glorification of Krishna as the litter of Govardhan Hill, because it's an important part of Krishna's Lila and an important place of Krishna's pastimes. I wanted to say more about Bhaktivinoda Thakur because I originally thought that was the topic of the class. And I just wanted to list some of his accomplishments and then talk about them in more detail. He wrote many, many books. He would write from 10 o'clock in the evening to 4 o'clock in the morning, 6 hours a day, mostly about the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. And he wrote in English, he wrote in Bengali, he wrote in Sanskrit, he wrote in Oriya, the language of the Orissa province, and he wrote in Urdu, and he wrote in Hindi. And apparently he also knew Persian in addition to all those languages. And he wrote many, many songs. And that is the other reason I feel very much connected to him, because we just, every day, we sing these songs, just as we sang Jaya Radha Madhava. One of the most favorite songs of Bhaktivinoda Thakur is Sharira Vijajal. Everyone is very enlivened to hear that song, because it glorifies the power of Krishna Prasadam. And Prabhupada said that practically all of us were here simply because of this Krishna Prasadam. So it's very important. And so every day, every meal, we're chanting the song by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Every class, we're chanting the song by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And every evening, for the people who still remember that there is an evening program in the Hare Krishna movement, and there's a Gaura Arati. Ibadadaya Gaura Chanda Arotika Shobha. It ends with a line, see. Bhakti Vinoda Deke Gaurara Sampada. That's thus Bhaktivinoda Thakur envisions the opulence of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He's there on the bank, in the forest on the bank of the Ganges. There's this arati being performed, led by Brahma and the demigods, and all these associates are there with their different paraphernalia. There's people are fanning Lord Chaitanya with chamaras and holding umbrellas, and there's these amazing singers, and they're playing the mrtunga and the kartels, and singing very sweet bhajan. Lord Chaitanya is there with a garland that's effulgent, made of five kinds of wildflowers. And actually, Radhanaswami had one of his disciples do a picture, which is hanging in Chaupati, called Gaura Arati. It has all the details of that song manifest in the form of a picture, and you see all these different personalities that are described in their service to Lord Chaitanya on the bank of the Ganges in that arati ceremony. So even in our daily practice, we're very much connected with him through these songs that we sing every day. And there are many, many other songs. There's a beautiful song, Shuddha Bhakti Charana Renu, which talks about different items of devotional service that we regularly perform, and how Bhaktivinoda Thakur derives great ecstasy from these different performances, like honoring prasadam, participating in the kirtan, worshipping the Tulsi Devi, like that. He's also famous for establishing Namahatta preaching in different villages in Bengal. He would get groups of people together and would chant Hare Krishna regularly and expand to other villages. He found the birthplace of Lord Chaitanya. It was in doubt where the actual place of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared because the Ganges had changed its course in the course of time, and there were always people who were trying to market their place as being the place of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance, so they would get donations from the people. So he constructed a temple there. He's the father of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He came to the realization that he couldn't spread this teaching all over the world by himself. So he prayed for a son who was a ray of Vishnu who would help him. He's also famous for his faith in the holy name and writing books like Harinam Chintamani about the holy name. And in many of his songs, the power of the holy name is glorified. He has an amazing schedule. In order to accomplish all the things he did, he had a very regulated life, just like Srila Prabhupada did. And his schedule is recorded. And in these many, many books, hundreds of books, Jiva Dharma, Chaitanya Shikshamrita, Harinam Chintami, Bhagavat, it's and its precepts. There are many, many instructions that are very useful in our own practice of bhakti. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur engaged one of his disciples in going through all the writings of Bhaktivinoda Thakur and compiling the essential instructions of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And one devotee in Mayapur, Ishvara Das, engaged some people in translating and publishing that book. It's called Sri Bhaktivinoda Bani by Bhava. And I was one of the proofreaders for that book, so I got to read a lot of these instructions, and I wanted to share some of those with you because they're very inspiring for our own personal practice. So his worldwide vision is described in some of his writings, which were excerpted in the Prabhupada Lilamrita there in the beginning. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, the religion preached by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is universal and not exclusive. The principle of kirtan as the future church of the world invites all classes of men, without distinction of caste or clan, to the highest cultivation of the spirit. This church, it appears, will extend all over the world and take the place of all sectarian churches which exclude outsiders from the precincts of the mosque, church, or temple. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not advent himself to liberate only a few men of India. Rather, his main objective was to emancipate all living entities of all countries throughout the entire universe and preach the eternal religion. Lord Chaitanya says in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, in every town, country, and village, my name will be sung. There is no doubt that this unquestionable order will come to pass. Although there is still no pure society of Vaishnavas to be had, Lord Chaitanya's prophetic words, when a few days come true, I'm sure. Why not? Nothing is absolutely pure in the beginning. From imperfection, purity will come about. Oh, for that day when the fortunate English, French, Russian, German, and American people will take up banners, mridangas, and cartels and raise kirtan through their streets and towns. When will that day come? So it's actually incredible that he has such such faith in Lord Chaitanya and such vision that very soon, as far as I can understand, he wrote that in the end, toward the end of the 1800s. So in less than a century, Prabhupada actually came and brought his chanting and the Srimad Bhagavatam to the West and from America to many, many countries of the world. So there was no obvious sign, material calculation that would lead one to understand that. But it was just from his devotional service to the Lord, he was given that insight into the Lord's plan. So other things I mentioned about was he found the birthplace of Lord Chaitanya. So he studied different archaeological maps going back many, many centuries, and he one time he was chanting japa in his place across the Jalangi from Mayapur, and he saw a effulgence in a certain place, and he went there, and that was the place of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's birth. And he took his Shiksha Guru, Jagannath Das Padiji Maharaj, there. His servant had to carry him in a basket because he was over 100 years old and he couldn't walk. But when he got there, he sort of leapt out of the basket in ecstasy and chanting the holy name of the Lord and confirming that was the actual place of his birth. And he wanted to construct a temple there, but rather than just getting a few rich men to give a few crores or rupees or whatever, he decided he would go to all kinds of people, anyone, and just beg even a rupee in donation, because he wanted to engage many, many people in the service of the Lord. And he did that. He went humbly begging people, just give a rupee to construct a temple, the birthplace of Lord Chaitanya. So he was the father of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who was actually born in Jagannath Puri, a very auspicious place to take birth. And he had the umbilical cord wrapped around his neck like a Brahmin's thread. And very soon, that very year, he was born. He was born, I think, around February. And later that year, around June or July, the Rath Yatra procession was coming past his house, and it stayed in front of his house for 3 days. And Bhaktivedanta Thakur's wife took the child out, and he spontaneously reached out to touch the feet of Lord Jagannath, and the garland from Lord Jagannath fell on him. And people realized that was the son that Bhaktivedanta Thakur prayed to assist him in his mission. In the course of reading that book by Bhaktivikas Swami on the life of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, it talks about how Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur had a vow to chant 1 billion names of Krishna. And it turned out that Bhaktivinoda Thakur also chanted 1 billion names of Krishna. Perhaps that's where he got the idea to become empowered to preach Krishna consciousness. So there are many references to the holy name throughout his literature. Even in the songs we sing, there's that Udila Arana song. The last phrase is Krishnanam Sudha Koya Pan Joya Bhakti Vinoda Pran Nama Vinakicho Nakiko Aro Chota Bhuvana Maje. Drink the pure nectar of the holy name. There is nothing but the name to be had in the 14 worlds. It is filled the soul of Srila Bhakti Vinoda Thakur. So sometimes we're chanting japa and our mind tends to be distracted by this thing, that thing, and the other thing. So sometimes I actually meditate on that phrase. There's nothing of value in the 14 worlds but the holy name, as an attempt to bring the mind back. Because the mind is thinking, this is very valuable, this is very valuable. But in reality, according to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, it's completely worthless except for the chanting of the holy name. Jivanohale Shesh Na Bajale Rishikesh Bhakti Vinoda Pradesh Ekbar Naam Rasa Mato Re. Your life may end at every moment, and you have not served the Lord of the senses, Rishikesh. Take this advice of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Just once relish the nectar of the holy name. So he was And he had faith, even if somebody just chanted the name of Krishna once, it was so, it was the best thing they could do that life, practically. It's confirmed in the Srimad Bhagavatam, there's one amazing quote. Talks about Sankaitan Payasam Ba Stobam Helen Me Vava Vakuntanama Granama Sheshagam Haram Vadu. Whether one chants to indicate something else, one chants jokingly, one chants for musical entertainment, or one chants either even derisively, in a critical way, just by once chanting the name of the Lord of Vaikuntha, unlimited volumes of sins are eradicated. This is known to all learned men. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, we have faith in the holy name. In the Harinam Chintamani, makes a point which is very useful in our personal chanting. He says that if we chant attentively the Hare Krishna mantra, it is so powerful that even if we are habituated to committing the other offenses, if we can just discipline ourselves to chant attentively, we will overcome the other offenses and we will attain Krishna prema. But if we're so pure in heart that we don't commit any of the offenses, if we cannot chant attentively, even though we don't commit any of the other offenses, we won't get Krishna prema. Because actually there's no difference between Krishna and his name. And therefore to be inattentive is actually a great offense. Because Krishna is personally right there and we're ignoring him. So, if there's one thing we can do to improve our chanting, basically, it's to chant attentively. And then, even if we are addicted to committing some of the other offenses, by the power of that attending chanting, we'll overcome it. So, from that collection of instructions that I mentioned before, Bhakti, Vani by Baba, there's other statements about the holy name from his writing which I thought were valuable. The highest type of practitioners are those who believe that of all the processes of sadhana bhakti, taking shelter of the Lord's holy name awards one all perfection. That's from Harinam Chintamani. Congregationally chanting the holy names of the Lord according to one's qualification is called Vaishnava religion. Also from Harinam Chintamani. Chanting the holy names of Hari is the only sadhana. Other limbs of sadhana are only support of the chanting of the holy names of Hari. That's from his journal called Sajjana Toshini, 11.5. The auspicious symptom is that one should nullify all one's offenses by associating with the devotees and taking shelter of the holy names without any duplicity. If one carefully chants the holy names offenselessly, then in a very short time, the holy names appear blissfully. Gradually this bliss increases in such a way that one does not wish to give up the chanting of the holy names, and thus one takes complete shelter of the holy names. One time I was on pilgrimage in Jagannath Puri, and I learned about a pastime of Bhaktivinoda Thakur I hadn't heard before. Apparently later in his life, he felt that he was unsuccessful because he didn't see the holy name being chanted in every town and village of the world. And in that state of transcendental lamentation, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared. I can't remember if it was a dream or a vision. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told him, go to the Samadhi of Haridas Thakur and do your bhajan there and it will be heard all over the world. So he took that very seriously and he built a little kutir called Bhakti Kuti, which is on actually the site of our temple, ISKCON temple in the Jagannath Puri. And so it's actually come to pass that his bhajans are being chanted all over the world. So his schedule is very amazing. He would take rest at 7:30 or 8 and sleep 2 or 2.5 hours. And then he would get up and write for 6 hours from 10 to 4 in the morning. And then he would take rest for half an hour and rise, wash his hands and face, and chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra Japa for 2.5 hours till 7. Then he would write letters for half an hour to 7:30. And then he would read for an hour to 8:30. And then he would receive guests, or if there weren't any guests, he would continue to read for another hour till 9:30. And then he would take a nap for 15 minutes till 9:45. And take his morning bath and have half a quart of milk, a couple of chapatis and some fruit, and go to the office by 9:55. It's pretty amazing to accomplish those, all those things in 10 minutes. And then he was a magistrate in court, and he was famous for being very quick in analyzing the cases and producing judgments. Everyone was amazed the number of cases he did, and how many cases he did in such a small amount of time. And he was in court from 10 o'clock to 1 o'clock, and then he would come home and bathe and refresh, and then go back at 2 o'clock to 5 o'clock. And then 5 in the afternoon, he would translate works from Sanskrit to Bengali. And then he would take his evening bath and meal of rice, a couple of chapatis, another half quart of milk, and then do it again the next day. In this way, he was able to write 100 books about Lord Chaitanya. And he lived about 76 years. He was born in 1838, September 2nd, and left this world June 23rd, 1914. So I had a few more quotes from that compilation of his instructions. This disciple of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur named Sripad Sundarananda Vidyavinod compiled these under the direction of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And when I proofread the book, I took my favorite quotes out, and then I just took my favorite of the favorite out, because otherwise there would be too many to read. But they're the same sorts of things we encounter in Prabhupada's books, but presented according to his own realization. The worshipable qualified acharyas should give initiation to qualified candidates. Although in Sri Hari Bhakti Vilas, the method for testing each other is recommended, it is not often practiced. That is why falls of both the disciple, both the spiritual master and the disciple, as well as pollution of the sampradaya, become inevitable. So some of these you could give a whole lecture on, you know, but I'm just pointing them out because they're, some of these could have, if we followed them, could have saved us a lot of difficulty in ISKCON, actually. So the pathetic condition of a person who tries to consider the superiority and inferiority of the rasas, that's intimate relationships with Krishna, without understanding the difference between matter and spirit, is the same as the pathetic condition of a person who tries to learn geometry without understanding the difference between an axiom and a postulate. Those who call themselves Vaishnavas and make a show of performing kirtan, but do not accept initiation, are certainly self-deceivers. So that's a very heavy statement we might consider if we leave kirtan and aren't initiated yet. There's no worse association in the whole world than that of a Dharma Dvaji. One should rather associate with sense enjoyers. Being deceitful, the Dharma Dvajis take on the appearance of devotees with a desire to cheat everyone. And to fulfill their crooked desires, they cheat the foolish by helping them in their rascaldom. Some of the Dharma Dvajis become gurus and some become disciples, and by trickery they accumulate wealth, women, prestige, and material assets. If one gives up the association of crooked hypocrites, one can honestly engage in devotional service. So those are people who make a show of being devotees, but their actual whole aim is sense gratification. I'm saying better somebody who's an honest sense enjoyer than somebody who's sense enjoyer but pretending to be a devotee and at the same time cheating innocent people out of real devotional service. There are two divisions in the original abode of Vrindavan. They're called Krishna Peet and Gaura Peet. And the Krishna Peet, eternally perfect and liberated associates who enjoy the mood of Madhurya, sweetness, with a little Odarya, compassion, associate with Krishna. The same eternally perfect and eternally liberated associates who enjoy the mood of Odarya, compassion, with a little Madhurya, sweetness, are found in the Gaura Peet. Sometimes these associates expand to enjoy pastimes with the Lord in both peats, and sometimes they remain at one peat in their original form and do not stay at the other peat. While executing sadhana, those who worship only Gaura will serve only at Gaura peat after they achieve perfection. Those who worship only Krishna will live at Krishna peat, and those who worship Krishna at Gaura will assume two bodies and simultaneously reside in both peats. This is the supreme mystery of Gaura Krishna's philosophy of Achintya Beda Beda. So if you worship Lord Chaitanya and Krishna, you can have two forms in this spiritual world and be simultaneous in both pastimes. In case you wanted to know. That's from Jiva Dharma, chapter 17. Because Sri Gaura Sundara, Sri Gaura Chandra appeared in Navadvipa, it is the crest jewel of all holy places. Offenders are punished at other holy pilgrimage places, but they are purified in Navadvipa Dham. Examples of this are the two brothers, Jagai and Madai, who committed great offenses, yet still received Nitya and Gaura. That's from Navadvipa Mahatma. This is a curious instruction. Mahaprabhu does not wish to spend lavishly on festivals at Sri Mayapur. It would be interesting to have his purport on that. A huge and wonderful temple will be constructed at the birthplace of Mahaprabhu, and the eternal service to Gaurango will manifest. That's from Navadvipa Mahatma. So we're all waiting for the temple of the Vedic planetarium. And as the Bhaktivinoda Thakur is trying to get a rupee from each and every person, he's still trying to get hopefully more than a rupee from each and everyone to help us. Those who are trying their best to keep intact the flow of service to Sri Mayapur will be considered the benefactors of the future world of Vaishnavas. Those who take their birth as devotees in various races and many distant countries will one day desire to come and see the birthplace of Sri Mahaprabhu. Those two are from Sajjana Toshini 12.1. Krishna performs different pastimes in the hearts of different devotees depending on their qualification at a particular time. Krishna takes birth in one devotee's heart. He steals the gopi's clothes in another's. He performs the rasa dance in another's. He kills Putana in one other devotee's heart. He kills Kamsa in another's. He has an affair with Kuja in yet another's, and he enacts his disappearance pastime in the heart of a devotee who is leaving his body. The planets, like the living enemies, are innumerable. As one pastime takes place on one planet, another pastime takes place on another planet. This way, each pastime continuously takes place. Therefore, all of the Lord's pastimes are eternal. There is no break, because the Lord's energies are always active. So that's pretty amazing. Those who have an intense desire to serve Krishna have no secrets among themselves or with others. To teach this principle to the devotees, Krishna stole the clothes of the gopis. The living entities are entangled, that's from Krishna Samhita, chapter 5. The living entities are entangled by the shackles of maya, whether they are situated in the mode of goodness, passion, or ignorance. Although gold shackles, silver shackles, and iron shackles are made of different metals, nevertheless, they are shackles and nothing else. If free will is a disadvantage, why did the Supreme Lord give free will for the living entities? Free will is like a special jewel. If the living entities were not given free will, they would be very lowly and insignificant like matter. From Jiva Dharma, chapter 16. Because some people say, you know, this free will is a curse because we misuse it, you know. Why does Krishna give us this free will that we'll misuse, you know? So he's dealing with that doubt. Is the Supreme Lord responsible for the living entities' misuse of free will? It cannot be said that the Lord gives the distress the living entities suffer due to misuse of free will. The Supreme Lord is not to be blamed in any way. He is not responsible for the distress the living entities suffer due to their transgressing the rules and regulations. If the Supreme Creator forced the living entities to accept an artist, he would be at fault for discrimination. However, if the living entities had used their will to strengthen their spiritual attachment, they would have increased their own glories. If they did not have free will, they would not have the opportunity to increase their own glories. We should know that by giving such wonderful free will to the living entities, the Supreme Lord has displayed his mercy on them, and degradation caused by misuse of free will is meant to rectify and deliver the living entities. That's a very beautiful analysis. Although that's from Tattva Sutra 20. Although the waves are part of the ocean, they are never the ocean. Although the living entities are parts and parcels of God, they can never become God. Tattva Sutra 10. Vaishnavism is the awakening of one's rasa through the practice of bhajan by taking shelter at the lotus feet of the spiritual master. That's Kaviraj Goswami describes true eloquence as essential truth spoken concisely. So that's sort of like that. Vaishnavism is the awakening of one's rasa through the practice of bhajan by taking shelter at the lotus feet of the spiritual master. It sort of describes the whole path. A Vaishnava who is attached to the chanting of the holy name of the Lord offenselessly is a Vaishnava follower of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's lotus feet. Occasional cultivation of the holy names is the role of a Vaishnava. Constant cultivation of the holy names is the role of a better Vaishnava. The best Vaishnava is he by whose association one is induced to chant the pure names of the Lord. Everyone's duty is to associate with these saintly persons. The greatness of a Vaishnava depends on the amount of attachment he has for the holy names. In the teachings of Srimad Mahaprabhu, there are two principal instructions: developing a taste for chanting the Lord's holy names and displaying compassion to the fallen souls. The greatness of a Vaishnava depends on the extent he possesses these qualities. There is no need to endeavor for other good qualities. All good qualities of a Vaishnava automatically manifest in a Vaishnava who endeavors for these two qualities. So the two qualities are developing taste for the holy name and displaying compassion to the fallen. So these are all things that we run into in Srila Prabhupada's teachings, but they're really being emphasized here and presented very concisely. This is a really important one, because we haven't followed this sometimes in the history of ISKCON, and we've created disturbances. The renunciate Vaishnavas should not think they are more respectable than the grihastha Vaishnavas. One should know that the difference in respect among the Vaishnavas lies only between Uttama Adhikari and Madhyama Adhikari. Both Uttama Adhikari and Madhyama Adhikaris are found among the grihasthas. This rule also applies to the renunciate Vaishnavas. Glories of the renunciate Vaishnavas are they have given up the association of women, greed for money, and bodily pleasure. The grihastha Vaishnavas have special glories. Many of them work hard to earn money, and after serving Krishna, they serve the grihastha and sannyasi Vaishnavas. Whether one is a grihastha or sannyasi, the principal cause for respect is the attainment of devotional service. One should be respected as a Vaishnava according to one's advancement in devotional service. There's no other cause to distinguish the level of a Vaishnava. Sajjanatoshini 5.11. Undeviating surrender to Lord Krishna is the Sarup Lakshana, a natural characteristic of devotional service. Whoever possesses this quality will soon find that the other symptoms come to him unfailingly. The marginal symptoms have not reached full maturity in a surrendered sadhu, and some serious discrepancies in his character are visible. He's still to be respected as a sadhu or saintly soul. So just undeviating surrender to Lord Krishna, that will cause one to develop all the other saintly qualities. It is the duty of pure devotees who are situated on the platform of Madhyama Adhikari to love God, to make friendship with pure devotees, to bestow mercy on subordinates, and to neglect envious people. They behave in this way according to scripture. To discriminate while making a friendship according to the degree of the friend's devotional service is proper. To discriminate while bestowing mercy according to the degree of the ignorant people's simplicity is proper. And to discriminate while neglecting an envious person according to the degree of his envy is proper. So we all heard that instruction about the four different ways of behavior. So he's giving the additional instruction that depending on the degree that people are in those categories, you act to a similar degree. The character of a Vaishnava is sinless, and no part of his character is fit for hiding. Simplicity is the life of a Vaishnava. He always teaches others by setting his own examples. Unless his character is pure, he is not fit to be called a Vaishnava. These couple are especially for the householders, and these are from Sajjanatoshini. Serving guests is the principal duty of the householders. Any country where this principle is absent is as good as a desert and should be rejected. The lives of householders who do not entertain guests are useless and are in the lead among sinful people. Serving guests is a must for householders. The inevitable sinful activities that a householder commits are destroyed simply by serving guests. So in India, that principle is widely known, but in the West, some places, it's not really developed. The principal activity of the householder is to serve the devotees of the Lord. Only devotees who possess full knowledge of pure devotional service and relish the mellows of offenseless chanting of the Lord's holy name are qualified to preach. And he explains that later in this next one. When saintly people follow religious principles, this is called achara, proper code of conduct. To preach those religious principles to other living entities in the world is called prachara, preaching. If one wants to engage in the activities of achara or prachara, one should first learn the saintly person's code of conduct. Some people, after learning, begin to preach even before they themselves follow. Hence, they yield insufficient results. If a person does not personally follow the religious principles, but preaches to others, he creates a great deal of disturbance in the world. swan-like Vaishnavas are always engaged in purifying the hearts of sinful people by giving public lectures, friendly advice, confidential instructions, and by rebuking, setting an example, and sometimes punishing sinners in Sri Krishna Samhita. The Bhagavat does not allow its followers to ask anything from God except eternal love for Him. That's from the Bhagavat, its philosophy, its ethics, and its theology. So, this class is supposed to end usually at 9:45. Of course, because there's no breakfast, it can go longer. But it's already 9:00, and I've got a lot more things I could read. And so I'm happy to read because I haven't found a ride to Gainesville yet. And if anybody's happy to listen, I'll stay here as long as one person is still remaining, I guess. But you have many things to do, no doubt. And also, I will email this to you if you would like to see it. or you can purchase the book and get the unedited version, because I'm sure you appreciate some of the instructions I didn't appreciate. But, I guess. So, thank you for your time, and I'll continue reading to anyone who would like to stay, and if anybody can give me a ride to Gainesville, please let me know. What's that? Oh, okay. I think Keshava can take me to Santa Fe, and I can take a bus from there before, but thanks for all. So we'll continue reading. These instructions by Bhaktivinoda Thakur are compiled by servant of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. We can say if all the religious scriptures of the Hindus are thrown into the ocean and only the Srimad Bhagavatam is kept aside, there would be no harm for the Aryans or for the ordinary living entities. Sajjan Toshni 8:11. The whole of this incomparable work, Srimad Bhagavatam, teaches us, according to our great Chaitanya, three truths which compose the absolute religion of man. Our Nadia preacher calls them Sambandha, Abhideya, and Priyojana, the relationship between the Creator and the created, the duty of a man to God, and the aim of humanity. These three words include the ocean of human knowledge as far as it has been explored to this era of human progress. These are the cardinal points of religion. And the whole Bhagavad is, as we're taught by Chaitanya, an explanation, both by precept and example, of these three great points. So the three great points are again are Sambandha, Abhideya, and Priyojana, the relationship we have with the Lord, the goal of that relationship, and the process by which that is attained. The superiority of the Bhagavad consists in uniting all sorts of theistic worship into one excellent principle in human nature, which is called bhakti. This word has no equivalent in the English language. Piety, devotion, resignation, and spiritual love, unalloyed with any petition except repentance, compose the highest principle of bhakti. The Bhagavat tells us to worship God in that great and invaluable principle, which is infinitely superior to human knowledge and the principle of yoga. Such a beautiful description of bhakti. Nowadays, people love to read novels. Our duty is to teach the science of devotional service little by little through novels, like administering a dose of homeopathic medicine. By injecting small amounts of spiritual knowledge into the hearts of the materialists, their hearts will become faithful to devotional service. While searching for some books, we came across a few of those of the Sahajiyas. After reading them, we felt disgusted. We threw them into the Ganges and became purified. So what to do with bogus books? Throw them into the Ganga and become purified. The path of bhajan, displayed by the previous Mahajans, is to constantly chant the holy names of Hari with firm determination and show compassion to all living entities. Vijnana, or cultivation of knowledge, which awakens one's devotional service, and which is performed in order to achieve devotional service, is most desirable. Vijnana, which rejects the supreme path of devotional service and simply imparts information about the gross external world, is extremely abominable. Performance of karma is like a dark well compared to the ocean of mellows of the Lord's holy names. One should give up all kinds of worship and constantly chant the holy names of Hari in association with devotees who are attached to chanting the holy names. There is no religious principle other than Vaishnava Dharma. All other religious principles that have been preached or will be preached either support or are distorted forms of Vaishnava Dharma. Whenever they manifest as support, one should respect them. And when they appear as a distorted form, one should cultivate one's own devotional service without being envious. Devotional service is fully independent. Devotional service itself is beauty and ornament. It does not depend on any other good qualities. The swan-like dharma is very simple. It is not very austere. There are two principles found in it, namely attachment and good character. Attachment is applied to the Supreme Lord and the living entities. One should apply full attachment to the Supreme Lord and brotherly attachment to all living entities. Both attachment and good character can be found in their proper place. Devotional service to Hari mostly awards liberation and keeps people happy. And unless it finds a qualified person, it does not award pure devotional service. It is one's main duty to take shelter of the regular principle of regular devotional service until one's raga is awakened. As long as we have this material body, carefully remain fixed in the principles of bhakti. Serve the devotees, chant the name of Krishna, worship Radha and Krishna, and remain indifferent to sense gratification. For the mercy of the devotees, name and the Dham, keep undesirable association far away. Soon you will attain residence in the eternal Dham, where pure service to Radha and Krishna manifests. So many simply put powerful practices that can transform our lives. If a pure devotee offers the remnants of Krishna to the demigods and demigoddesses, then they accept it with great pleasure and danced in ecstasy. Thereafter, a devotee can take their prasad and become joyful. So even the demigods relish prasad. One should maintain simplicity in all one's activities. One should not keep one thing in the heart and display something else in one's behavior. One should not try to collect cheap adoration from persons who are averse to devotional service by displaying some artificial symptoms of ecstatic love. One should be partial to pure devotional service and not support any other conclusion. One's intention and behavior should be one and the same. In whatever ashram one stays, one should give up the attachment for sense gratification and follow the principles of that ashram. One should become enthusiastic about the execution of devotional service to Krishna and follow the behavior of the devotees. It is improper to think it's not possible to worship Hari in one's childhood. We find in the history that Dhruva and Prahlad achieved the Supreme Lord's mercy in their early childhood. If any person is able to do anything, then every person is capable of doing that, provided he tries to do so. As such, whatever is practiced from one's childhood gradually becomes a habit when one grows up. So your children can also become like Prahlad or Dhruva if they want. As the situation of human beings throughout the world gradually changed from uncivilized to civilized, and from civilized to scientific, from scientific to moral, and from moral to devotional, process for worshiping God also changes according to the differences in language, dress, food, and mental condition. When considered from an impartial point of view, one can understand that these secondary differences do not actually cause any harm. As long as there's unanimity in the process of bhajan, there will be no problem at the time of perfection. So we shouldn't be disturbed by the external differences in other performance of devotion to the Supreme Person. There are mysteries in the practice of sadhana. Transcendental knowledge, devotional service, and detachment from material objects simultaneously increase. Whenever a reversion is seen, it is to be understood there is a fault in the root of one's sadhana. Without the association of devotees and the mercy of the spiritual master, one cannot always get protection from the danger of misguidance. The structure of human life is full of various levels. The life of the outcast is on the lowest grade. Godless moral life is the second grade. Theistic moral life is the third grade. The life of regulative devotees is the fourth grade. The life of the devotees who are agitated by raga, spontaneous devotion, is on the topmost grade. The non-devotees think that their perishable material body is all in all. Whatever distress they suffer is severe. Even though they try to remove these miseries in various ways, they are unable to do so. The devotees, however, know their temporary material life as the life of the guests. Therefore, due to the influence of their pure spiritual bliss, their temporary ordinary distresses are passed off as most insignificant. The misconception regarding one's constitutional position does not go away in one day. It gradually vanquishes as one cultivates Krishna consciousness. The constitutional position of the living entity is that he is the eternal servant of Krishna. Cultivation of Krishna consciousness with this conviction is the actual cultivation of Krishna consciousness. The science of self-realization is awakened by the mercy of the spiritual master. The disciple should try to realize his constitutional position with utmost care, otherwise his first anartha in the path of his spiritual life will not be destroyed. So while we're performing devotional service, we should be cultivating the consciousness of being the eternal servant of Krishna. If one has got some material desires in the heart, then with all humility one should reluctantly accept them and continue to worship the Lord without any duplicity. Then within a short period of time the Lord will sit in one's heart and thereafter remove all material desires except for his loving service. Apart from the time of resting, which is necessary to keep body and soul together, one should always humbly chant the holy names. Then the offenses against the holy names will be nullified. No other pious activity of atonement can counteract offenses against the holy names. By eagerly contemplating the actual meaning of chanting the holy names, and by praying to Krishna with humility, one makes gradual advancement on the path of bhajan. Thus one follows this process, one will spend many births in sadhana, just like the karmis and jnanis. So while we're chanting, we're supposed to be contemplating the meaning of the chanting and praying to the Lord with humility to get the result. Those who know that the Supreme Lord is their life and soul and thus spend their lives by dovetailing their scientific knowledge, art, morality, religiousness, and thought into the devotional service to the Supreme Controller, though conditioned, are fully introspective. This life of introspection is called the life of regular devotional service. When the cause of the mind's restlessness is sense gratification, and this restlessness is the main obstacle in the practice of devotional service, then all sensual activities should be dovetailed in the service of the Lord, and the attachment to sense gratification should be transformed into attachment to the Lord. By performance of sadhana bhakti, one makes advancement on the path of spiritual life. Although a practitioner of devotional service may not be an experienced farmer, an experienced businessman, or a clever warrior, nevertheless, according to his qualification, he is matured in the tactics of the highest human life. Even though an expert royal minister may not be able to operate a tank, still he arranges the battle as the head of the army. The same way, a person who sees that a practitioner of devotional service is situated on the highest platform in all respects is actually intelligent and has achieved the mercy of the Lord. So whatever our duty in life, we may not do it perfectly, but if we cultivate pure devotional service to the Lord, then we're perfectly situated. Devotional service to Krishna is touchstone, and if fruited activities in the cultivation of knowledge, which are like iron, come in contact with it, they also transform into gold. That is the influence of the touchstone of devotional service. It's not a fact that just by executing the limbs of devotional service after taking initiation, Krishna becomes pleased. Only one who has unflinching faith and unalloyed devotional service can please the Lord. So these next few regard faith, are about faith. So not only do we have to execute the limbs of devotional service, we have to have pure faith in unalloyed devotional service. Until one develops faith in devotional service, even though he has good qualities apart from the quality of full surrender to Krishna, one will not achieve devotional service. Those who have no pious activities have no shraddha or faith. Even if they're preached to heavily, they still will not understand anything. Sometimes we may preach to someone and they may not be able to understand. That can be because they have no pious activities. Therefore, they have no shraddha. Due to sadhu sangha, association with devotees, shraddha, faith, gradually increases. The more one's shraddha increases, the more one becomes eager. At that time, the only endeavor of the living entity is he always searches for an opportunity to attain the lotus feet of the Lord. He sees that he's fully influenced by his anardas and his constitutional position, nature is dormant. He then engages in devotional service without deviation in the association of the saintly persons who are devoid of all anartas and who are self-realized. This state of shraddha is called the shraddha that brings one to the platform of transcendence. It is the seed of devotional service. Associating with an intimate devotee of the Lord is taking shelter at the lotus feet of the spiritual master. One who has awakened pure devotional service in his heart as an unalloyed devotee of Krishna, his association is most desirable. The association of Madhya Adhikaris is also suitable. The practitioner of devotional service should always take shelter of devotees who are superior to him. In this way, he can make advancement on the path of spiritual advancement. It's called a commentary on Bhajanamrita by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. By observing the pure characteristics, this is a very powerful paragraph actually about the power of association of Vaishnavas. By observing the pure characteristics of a devotee, in a very short time a person's mind is changed. His attachment for sense enjoyment decreases, and the seedling of bhakti sprouts in the heart. One even gradually develops a taste for the Vaishnava's food and behavior. We have seen, by associating with Vaishnavas, people have given up many anartas, taste for associating with women, thirst for wealth, desire for sense enjoyment and liberation, inclination for karma and jnana, eating meat and fish, drinking wine, smoking tobacco, and the desire to chew pan. By observing a Vaishnava's quality of not uselessly wasting time, many people have easily given up anartas such as laziness, oversleeping, useless talk, the urge to speak, etc. We've also seen that by associating with Vaishnavas for some time, it's someone's cheating propensity and desire for fame have been destroyed. We have seen with our own eyes that by associating with Vaishnavas with a little affection, all other association, such as attachment for prejudices, has been vanquished. Those who are attached to winning fights, those who are expert at attaining dominion, those who are eager to accumulate great wealth, all such types of people have attained devotional service by being purified in the association of Vaishnavas. Even the hearts of persons who think, I shall defeat the world by my arguments and attain supremacy, have been pacified. Without the association of Vaishnavas, there is no alternative for rectifying the attachment for prejudices. That's from Sajjana Koshini, 11.11. Reminds me of Satsrupa Maharaj's writing about his first meeting with Srila Prabhupada, and just hearing him speak one time in 26th Second Avenue, he gave up intoxication and illicit sex just from hearing Prabhupada, give one lecture. That was the power of his pure association. Many people experienced that just by seeing Srila Prabhupada, that they got great spiritual potency. And the final quote, the sadhus award divine eyes to our hearts. Interesting. So these again are different quotes by Bhaktivinoda Thakur from a compilation ordered by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, compiled by his disciple Sundarananda Vidyanod, and translated by Bhumipati and printed by Ishvara Prabhu as Touchstone Publishing as Sri Bhakti Vani by Bhava. And that's just a summary of some of the amazing instructions I found in the book and were inspired by. So on these days, Srila Prabhupada encouraged us that we can actually pray to the personality whose appearance day it is. Usually we go through the disciplic succession, but on these days of their appearance and disappearance, we can pray directly to them. And there's so many gifts that Bhaktivinoda Thakur has himself that he can bestow upon us. He can give us Krishna Prema, he can give us complete dedication to the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He can give us the service of Radharani in Vrindavan. He can give us the ability to chant the pure holy name. Actually, recently, because I've been doing Harinam, recently I've been praying to Bhaktivinoda Thakur to chant the pure holy name. And I don't think I'm there yet, but I do feel that it definitely helps before I go in Harinam. I pray to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, please let me chant the pure holy name so the people will benefit. It makes a difference. So we can on this day offer some prayers to him and think about internally how we're all here by his mercy, by his pure desire to spread Lord Chaitanya's mission all over the world, and how we benefit daily from his beautiful songs, Jai Radha Madhava, Gaur Arati, and the prayer of Shri Radha Jajal, and pray for his mercy. His divine grace, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Gaur. Any questions or comments? To the three people that remain. One day I read all the translations of his songs just in my own personal reading, and it was just so powerful just to be absorbed for like 1 hour in his mood. That's something you might consider doing the rest of the day. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.